This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hscc.org.
Last time I gave a talk, I wasn't even giving the talk, but somehow the part of Dogen's brilliant essay, Genjo Koan, about firewood and ash came up. Some of you were here for that. I was hoping Chuck and Larry would stay because Larry brought it up. So, do you know that passage? It's the one that goes, firewood becomes ash and does not become firewood again. But do not suppose that the ash is future and the firewood past. Firewood abides in the phenomenal expression of firewood, which includes future and past. Ash abides in the phenomenal expression of ash, which includes past and future. And then he goes on and says, in the same way, you do not return to birth after death. So I don't know, maybe that doesn't sound like a Buddhist point of view. Because, you know, what about rebirth? Well, it's not that there's no rebirth. It's that there's no you to travel from life to life. And the analogy with firewood and ash is actually quite striking. That part of the essay is it's kind of like a little meditative, almost poem. And I think that I don't know, maybe some of you have access to a fireplace. We have a fireplace here. Jim, have you got a fireplace?
No.
You don't have a fireplace. Okay. I was going to suggest actually contemplating firewood and ash. And see if your sense of firewood and ash kind of diverging from each other. Can be nourished by your Zazen practice. So, if you contemplate a piece of firewood just as it is, and if you contemplate ash just as it is, the assumed linear connection is something we impose. neither firewood nor ash has, as Buddha taught, inherent existence. If there were inherent existence, it might be possible for firewood to become ash, and for there to be a kind of through line, you know? Some fundamental nature connecting firewood and ash, but there is no such thing. So I recommend maybe sometime contemplating firewood and appreciating what Dogen meant by abiding in the phenomenal expression of firewood. And perhaps you can see that the firewood's not going anywhere, and neither is the ash. And while it's possible to connect them, and there might be practical reasons to do so from time to time, each abides in its Dharma position. It's another translation of that expression. Firewood abides in the Dharma position of firewood. Ash in the Dharma position of ash. And then, perhaps even more challengingly, Dogen says, this is like birth and death. Dogen says, it's a fundamental principle of Buddha Dharma that birth does not turn into death. Therefore, it's understood as no birth. The same way, death does not turn into birth. And thus, it's known as no death. Like firewood and ash, birth and death each abides in its phenomenal expression. Or as Dogen says, each, that is, birth, is an expression complete in one moment. Death, an expression complete in one moment. And to draw the line of a self between the two is mistaken and will cause much suffering. So you can watch the incense back there on the altar supposedly turning into ash. But you can also contemplate incense and ash as not going anywhere. I get the feeling I'm not convincing anybody. But maybe I could convince you to do that contemplation and see what comes up. And so, in that part of the essay, at least, Dogen is he's pointing to, you might say, disconnection. He's pointing to the way our reality is constructed with all of these through lines, making it for a very complicated universe. The through line of firewood to ash, birth to death, and so forth. But do you have any sense of what I mean by saying firewood abides in the Dharma position of firewood? And fully includes future and past. So the mind of Zazen is able to meet firewood and stop, or meet ash and stop, without all of these hooks springing out, trying to grab onto other things. The same with birth and death. And that, of course, really gets at the heart of Buddha Dharma, there being no abiding self or person. That's probably, as the teachings of Buddha go, that's probably the most challenging. It's probably difficult for us to understand this person in the same way we might contemplate and understand firewood. But this is how the mind of Zazen sees the world. And by the mind of Zazen, I'm talking about your mind. Not mine, necessarily. Anyone's mind. Anyone's mind can encounter any phenomenal expression and simply stop. And at least maybe temporarily, but even so, it would be significant for just a moment to let all of those complicated connections fall away. such that whole world stops at firewood. Then Dogen says, in, I don't know, maybe it's an attempt at humor, but anyway, he says, it's like winter and spring, he says. You don't call winter the beginning of spring, or summer the end of spring. Spring and fall, summer and winter, each is a complete expression. One of the perhaps benefits of seated meditation is that this sense of constantly being en route to something else or somewhere else can be allowed to become quiet and still. And with that kind of practice, perhaps when we have come to our phenomenal expression of dying, we can find some peace. So I recommend the contemplation of firewood, which is really not different from Zazen. Thursday night in our study hour, we looked again at the story of how non-sentient things teach the Dharma, teach the truth. A piece of firewood probably looks like a non-sentient thing. But even so, contemplated as I'm suggesting, you can also understand it as conveying Buddha's teaching. Without a word. That's enough for today. Now, Jonathan, would you see, there's a folded piece of paper over there somewhere, I think maybe on the where the echo stand is, and will you see if you can find it? It's a quote from the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. If it's not there, it's in the plastic container. That looks like it. Would you like to read that to us?
The part that's highlighted in yellow?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Have a seat.
Okay.
It's not very long. And don't worry, it doesn't say anything about firewood, so.
Then the Lord addressed the monks, saying, "It may be, monks, that some monk has doubts or uncertainty about the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, or about the path or the practice. Ask, monks, do not afterwards feel remorse, thinking, 'The teacher was there before us, and we failed to ask the Lord face to face.'" At these words, the monks were silent. The Lord repeated his words a second and a third time, and still the monks were silent. Then the Lord said, "Perhaps, monks, you do not ask out of respect for the teacher. Then, monks, let one friend tell it to another." But still they were silent. And the Venerable Ananda said, "It is wonderful, Lord, it is marvelous. I clearly perceive that in this assembly there is not one monk who has doubts or uncertainty. You, Ananda, speak from faith. But the Tathagata knows that in this assembly there is not one monk who has doubts or uncertainty about the Buddha, the Dharma, or the Sangha, or about the path, or the practice. Ananda, the least one of these 500 monks is a stream runner, incapable of falling into states of woe, certain of nirvana." Then the Lord said to the monks, "Now, monks, I declare to you, all conditioned things are of a nature to decay. Strive on untiringly." These were the Tathagata's last words. Then the Lord entered the first jhana. And leaving that, he entered the second, the third, the fourth jhana. Then leaving the fourth jhana, he entered the sphere of infinite space. Then the sphere of infinite consciousness. Then the sphere of no thingness. Then the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception. And leaving that, he attained the cessation of feeling and perception. Then the Venerable Ananda said to the Venerable Anuruddha, "Venerable Anuruddha, the Lord has passed away." "No, friend Ananda, the Lord has not passed away. He has attained the cessation of feeling and perception." Then the Lord, leaving the attainment of the cessation of feeling and perception, entered the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception. From that, he entered the sphere of no thingness, the sphere of infinite consciousness, the sphere of infinite space. From the sphere of infinite space, he entered the fourth jhana, from there the third, the second, and the first jhana. Leaving the first jhana, he entered the second, the third, the fourth jhana. And leaving the fourth jhana, the Lord finally passed away.
Nice, huh? The, you know, the fourth jhana is very simple, characterized by what? It has only one characteristic. Okay.
You don't teach jhanas.
Equanimity. That's it. The fourth jhana is equanimity. So, when it's our turn to die, I recommend head right for the fourth jhana and stay there and then breathe your last. So, we'll have this little ceremony. I hope you can stay. It will not take very long. And then we can go contemplate cookies and tea. Thank you very much.